We are holding on London Baltimore Bay, 7 lines from the bottom. So the second to last of the middle 5 line. Notice this, Chovitz Gedera. If a person is going to eat Chovitz Gedera, which is, Rashi describes, it's a kind of porridge, so it has the consistency of like milk that was churned into butter. So you have a similar kind of thing that they make in a pot. Rashi explains that the ingredients are flour, oil, and honey. Flour, honey, and oil. Mm-hmm. So they take those together and they mix them together until it gets like a porridge-like or something, or butter-like or whatever consistency. It's called Chovitz Gedera. V'chein Daisa. Similarly, if a person is eating Daisa, which is a food made out of crushed wheat grains. So again, something like porridge or grits or other. Let me roll them days at the bottom. So Chovitz Gedera, again, this dish made out of flour, honey, and oil mixed together, beaten together, or Daisa, which is just made out of crushed wheat grains that are made into a kind of porridge. So what is the bracha on those? Rav Yehuda Omer Sha'akol Mir B'dvaray, Rav Kahana Omer Vernon Mir Mizanis. Okay, so machlekes. So the Gemara points out, the Daisa Grida, if a person is just eating plain Daisa, where it just contains the grits, the ground up wheat kernels made into a porridge, you call amalek pligid bo minim azonis, and everybody agrees bo minim azonis. There's no reason it should be anything else. He pligid be daisa kein chovitz gedera. The machlokas is if they made daisa similar to chovitz gedera, which is, again, chovitz gedera, we said, involves putting honey. So you can have, it's possible to make daisa in the same way, where you have a certain amount of the crushed grain, a certain amount of the grit, and then you mix honey in, and you may even have more honey than, you may even have more honey than grain. So now, what Chovitz Gedera is that it includes 3 ingredients. The difference is Chovitz Gedera involves flour, Daisa involves crushed wheat grains, but they're not ground quite so finely as flour.
And if those contain...
But that's the thing. So you can have Daisa that can be prepared by itself, where it's only the crushed wheat grains that are then cooked, and then there's no question it's very minimal in it. Or you can have... Where there's honey in it, and maybe even you can have, it can be, the recipe can have more honey than grits. So now the question. So now becomes the question. Rav Yehuda Omer Sha'akol. So Rav Yehuda says, he has Sha'akol on it, because he holds the honey is the main ingredient, because there's more of it, and this is B'chlal, he holds the whole purpose. Why would you be having such a concoction is mainly because you want the honey. The flour, the grits or whatever are in there to give it a little body or something maybe, but they're not, he holds, they're not the primary thing.
If taste is stronger than quantity,
Hold on, even in that case, it'll be mezonis, because he holds the flour, the grit, are the more important thing. Amr of Yosef, Kavaseder of Kahana Mestam, the rest of Yosef says, it seems more logical to accept the Kahana's opinion, the Rav of Shmuel, the Ami Tavayu, because Rav and Shmuel both say, Kol Sheyesh Bo Mechamesh Taminin, Mevorchino, Bo Mezonis, any food that contains one of the 5 types of grain, then even if the grain is a minority of it, you still say bare minimum zonis on it. Because the grain is considered important enough, even though it may be a minority of the whole thing, but because it's in there and it actually forms part of the food, then therefore you would say mizonis on it. Right. So, however, Tosfos does point out that only applies if you're putting in the flour because you actually want the food to be more nutritious or more filling or whatever. On the other hand, sometimes you have foods where you put in flour just to bind it together a little better, just to hold it together a little better. Then you wouldn't, then this rule wouldn't apply. You wouldn't say mizonis. So it's just said, okay, you should still, it's good to be machmir and eat it within a suda, so that way you don't have a question on it. But Tosfos says, therefore, that if flour is just there as a binder, then you don't. One thing this comes up with a lot of times is licorice. What is the bracha on licorice? It does contain flour. It's made out of a licorice root. It's made out of, I don't know if red licorice is, black licorice is, whatever. They're made out of some kind of root or something, but they have, there's sugar in there, and there's various other corn syrup, and I don't know what other ingredients, and there's flour usually in there. Because, so the question is the flour enough? So you have actually post-machron and I'll discuss about it. Is it therefore mizonis because there's enough flour in it to actually give it a taste, or is it the flour is only in there as a binder and therefore you say shakol?
The quantity does matter.
So the quantity, yeah, that's right, yeah. But no, it's not so much the quantity, but what you're putting it in there for. If you're putting it in there to actually give it a flavor of grain or make it more filling or whatever is one thing. In the case of licorice, they don't necessarily put it in for that purpose. They put it in order to hold the component together because otherwise it'd fall apart.
Okay.
If it's both, then the fact is it has the one, so therefore it'd be the same. Okay. Gufa. Getting back to, we said, Rav or Shmuel d'Ami Tavai, we said both Rav and Shmuel say a general rule, Kol sheyesh bei mechamesh haminin, any food that contains one of the five types of grain, Mevorchen al haborim min mezonos, then you say mezonos. The five types of grain, by the way, are, they're listed in various places in Shas, wheat, barley, kusmin, which is generally translated as spelt, shibolos shul, and shifon, which are rye and oats in some order. You have a machorikus poskim, which one is rich, but those are the five. Okay. The Itman Nami, also there was another statement, Rav Shmuel Dami Tavayo, also Rav and Shmuel made another statement, Kol Shehu Mechamesh HaMinin, any food which it is made from the five grains of all from all the bone and mezenis, so the same mezenis on it. So now, doesn't that seem to be repetitious? What are they adding with one statement over the other? The Gemara says it's not repetitious, it's tricha. We actually need both of those statements. The Yashmin Kol Shehu, because if they only told us the first case, they're the first din, that anything that contains one of the chameshes aminim, you say mezonos ane haba aminu, you would say b'shum de'iste ge'enei. If you only said the second one, kol shehu mechameshes aminim, you would say haba aminu b'shum de'iste ge'enei. You know why you say mezonos ane? Because you have, the grain is present fully, there's nothing mixed in with it. Kol shehu mechameshes aminim means that you have something which is actually made mostly or wholly from chameshes aminim. So it would include things like cake and cookies and whatnot. It would include things like grits, like daisa, like we were saying before, without honey. It would include noodles. It would include all kinds of such things. Where the main ingredient is the chamesh haminim. Avalei detaruvus lo. You wouldn't know that the same din applies if you mix in some other ingredient. Kamashmalan kol sheyesh bo. Therefore, they have to say the first din, that even if it only has in it of chamesh haminim, then you say bo min haminim.
Yeah,
I'm One second.
Taruvus, you should have it with
taruvus. Why? With taruvus means it's weaker, then you have less of it. So then you would say, again, it's one thing, let's say, for example, grits, which are actual wheat, like we just said, daisa, which is actual wheat kernels themselves or grain kernels or whatever, that are broken up and made into a porridge or something. Sure, you'd say mezonos on it, but how would we know, for example, about, let's say, the chavetz gedera that we were just talking about, where it contains other ingredients as well? Maybe not. So therefore, you need that set. Therefore, you need that first din. The iyash min and kol sheyesh bo. Conversely, if they only told us the first din, anything that contains one of the chameshes aminim, he's saying the zonas on it. Hava amina, then you would think like this. It means kol sheyesh bo chameshes aminim ein, only if it has one of those five as one of the ingredients. Aval odas v'doichan loy. But you would say, you would not say mezonos on odas and doichan, and hold a second, we'll talk about what odas and doichan are in a second, but mishum da'al yidei taruvus, you would say, you know why that is, only because there are other ingredients mixed in. So if you were to, let's say, make a chavetz gedera out of odas or doichan, mixed with other ingredients, like honey or whatever, you would say, in that case, then fine, you're not saying mezonos on it. Aval isei be'enei, but you would think, that you would have thought, without Rav and Shmuel's second statement, you would have thought, if you have it all by itself, for example, if you have a dish of only odors, of only cooked odors, or only cooked doichan, let's say, namely, you would think, you would think that even those things by themselves, you say mezonos on them. That's why we needed Rav and Shmuel's second statement, only on the five species, wheat and barley, etc., do you say mezonos on it. La poki odas v'doichan, as opposed to odas and doichan, even though they are grains, da'afilu ise be'enei, even if they're present in their original form, not in their original form, even if they're present all by themselves, you have a dish of only odas or a dish of only doichan, still, loy mevachin and bo min mezonos. You would not say mezonos. According to Rav and Shmuel's rule.
Odas is not a grain.
Odas
is right.
So now we have to figure out what odas and doichan are. Rashi translates both odas and doichan by French words that mean various kinds of millet. Rashi translates odas as mil, which is millet, and he translates doichan as pants, which is a different kind of millet. You see over here on the side in Lazi Rashi, They one is translated huge, and the other one fenchel huge. So they're two different types of millet. So according to Rashi, the Gemara is not talking about over here about rice at all. It's talking about different kinds of millet. And we're saying, even though you would have thought that you might say mezonos on them because they're a type of grain, they're not in the same family as wheat and barley and so forth, but they still are a type of grain, and they are a carbohydrate, and they're nutritious and everything. So you would think you say mezonos on it, and Rav and Shmuel therefore say not, only the five meaning. Which the Gemara is going to deal with that now and see whether that's in fact the halacha. Now, meanwhile, though, Tosfos, the five men, wheat, barley, we just said wheat, barley, spelt, oats, and rice. Yeah. Wheat, barley, spelt, oats, and rice, only those are considered grain, although we're going to deal with that within the sugya, whether that's in fact the case. Anyway, though, Tosfos over here and many other Rishonim explain that Orez is actually rice. Doichan then would be millet of some kind. So now that comes up. So the Gemara is going to, so now we're going to deal with the question whether in fact you say mezonos on Orez and whether in fact you say mezonos on Orez and Doichan, and therefore you have the question that becomes whether what how these dinim apply to rice. So let's learn further, and then we'll talk about what the actual practical dinim are, what the actual practical dinim are nowadays. Yes, the Gemara says, Orez, Doichan, Mami, Vachin, and Burim, and mezonos. Are you telling me, Rav and Shmuel, that you don't say mezonos on Orez and Doichan? Vahatanya, we learn in a braisa, hey, view upon a past Orez or past Doichan. Suppose a person has brought a loaf of bread of Orez or Doichan, so even though, I mean, regular bread, it's made out of five grains, because only those contain enough gluten to be able to rise, but still, wheat, barley, spelt, oats, and rice.
Yeah.
Oats and rice, yeah. So rice, so Orez, whether we say Orez is rice or whether we say that's millet, either way, it's not in that category, but nevertheless, sometimes people make bread from it, just like people make cornbread and other such things. So if somebody has a loaf of bread made of Orez or Doichan, Mevorach Olav Techila V'Soif K'Maisek Dera, then you make a bracha at the beginning, before and after it, like you do with Maisek Dera. Maisek Dera means things that are, means things of grains, of the actual five grains that are cooked in a pot. So it includes things like spiral, it includes things like what we were talking about before, about this dice, this grit, other such things like that, where the grain is cooked in a pot. And the guy in Maisik Data, Tanya, and as far as Maisik Data, we learn in a braisa. What are the brachas on it? It's Chilam Mavarach Olabo Minim Mizonis, all of a sudden it's Mavarach Olab Brachach Man Sholish. You say Mizonis at the beginning, and you say Brachach Man Sholish, which is Alam Michia at the end. So therefore, the braisa seems to very clearly be saying that the same thing applies to bread made out of Orez or Doichan. You say mezonos on it. So what are you telling me that you say? What are you telling me that you don't say mezonos on it? The answer is that's not what the braisa means. Kemaisik deira, veloy kemaisik deira. What the braisa means is that past bread of Orez or Doichan is similar to maisik deira, but not exactly like it. Kemaisik deira, the point is, the mevorach and all of chil of a soif. Is that you do actually say a bracha on it at the beginning and the end, and the chiddush of that is that you do, the chiddush of it is that you don't treat it like actual bread and say hamotzi on it. The Pnei Yeshua and the Tzlach both explain that what that means is, what do you think, you're not going to say a bracha on it at all? It means the chiddush is, mevorchan ala p'chil of a faith, but not like actual bread, where you would say hamotzi.
My secret,
I just said, is like, for example, like grist or fireball or other such things, where you have actual wheat itself, which is more or less which is the aim, which is, you know, you have the wheat or the barley or whatever grains all by themselves that are cooked to make a dish or a stew or whatever.
Okay.
So again, Maisik Deira, you say Mizonis. The Braisa says Pas Orez and Pas Doichan are the same thing, but the Gemara is saying it doesn't mean it's identical. It means they're the same. They're similar in that you make a bracha. You don't bench on it. You don't make hamotzi at the beginning and benching at the end on a Pas Orez or Pas Doichan. In that sense, they're like Maisik Deira. But the loy to Maisik Deira, but they're not exactly like Maisik Deira. The Maisik Deira, the Tchila Borim and Mizonis, or the Brachach Men Gimel, because Maisik Deira, you'd say Mizonis and Alamechia, the Yidu Hacha, whereas when it comes to a bread made out of Orez or Doichan, the Tchila Mavarach Al Shakal, the Yidu Borim, will say Borin Afashas Rabbis, the Chesroinon, Al Kul Mashabara. At the end, you would say Borin Afashas. So therefore, the Braita is not a contradiction to Rav and Shmuel, because the braisa doesn't mean that a bread of Orez or Doichan is exactly like Maisik Deira. They just mean don't think that after all it's called pas, so maybe it should have the din of regular bread, and you would say hamotzi and full benching on it. No, it gets a lower level bracha, but even lower than Maisik Deira, because Maisik Deira at least is made from the five grains, whereas these things are made from Orez and Doichan, which are not one of the five grains, and they're not considered grain in halacha, and therefore they would just get shahakol and burn the fashas. Okay. before Tosfos over here takes a moment to explain to us what the nusach of the bracha means. We have said bracha, Baruch Nefashos, any number of times a day. Do we ever think what it actually means? The Tosfos translates. What it means is, Baruch Nefashos Rabbis V'chatzroinam means Hashem created many different kinds of souls and the things that they're lacking. Meaning, Tosfos says, like for example, bread and water, a person needs them in order to live. So that's the first thing we thank Hashem for, that he created the things that are needed to fill the lack that a soul, that a person would otherwise have.
One second.
What do you mean, 1 second? That's what it is. A person needs bread and water. On the other
hand,
they're lacking means that means Hashem created the things that they need to fill their lack. Then the
brother
that we lack, Hashem created those things. Then Akil Masha Barosa Lahakis Bam Nefesh Kohoi means we thank Hashem not only for the basic necessities, but also the things we could have lived without. Things like, for example, that Tosfos gives an example, apples or other things where we eat them for pleasure. We don't need them for the diet. We can get whatever we get from apples, we can get from other kinds of food. But Hashem created them also in this way we're able to enjoy them.
It is indeed difficult to understand.
It's not so difficult. Hashem created many different souls, b'chasurinam, and the things that are needed to fill their lack, as well as al kol ma shebarasa lahakis behem nefesh kohoi, for everything that you created to make every living soul lahakis, to make them live, meaning not just live, but be able to enjoy life. And we finish off, baruch chei ha'olamim, blessed is Hashem who is the life of the world. That's what the bracha means. Okay. Anyway. So far we still can stick with what Rav and Shmuel are saying, that odors and doichan do not get mezonos, even if they're made into bread. So the question is, odors lav ma'isik deira who? So you're telling me then that odors is not considered in the same category as ma'isik deira, and you wouldn't say mezonos on it? V'hotanya, but we learn in a braisa like this. Eilohein ma'isik deira, the following things are considered ma'isik deira. Chilka is a dish that you make out of wheat kernels that are broken in two. So you don't grind them into millstones, because then you make flour or grits or whatever. You pound them in a mortar just enough to break each wheat kernel into two, and then you cook them. That's called chilka.
Mm-hmm.
Or targis, which is a similar thing, but you pound them a little more finely, so each piece is broken into three. Or solus, fine flour, which is more like grits or granola or something. Zoriz, or where you break them each piece into four. The arson, or each one is broken into five. So those are finer and finer grades of grits, basically. So all of those are ma'isik deira. They're orez as well as orez. So you see that orez is considered ma'isik deira as well. And we just said that the previous braisa said that ma'isik deira gets the zonus. So orez apparently also gets the zonus.
What
the answer is, what are Rav and Shmuel saying then doesn't, that only Chamesha Chaminim get Mezonos? The answer is, Homani Rabbi Yechin Ben Nuri. The answer is that Braisa goes specifically according to Rabbi Yechin Ben Nuri. The Tanya, Rabbi Yechin Ben Nuri, Orez Min Dogon. Rabbi Yechin Ben Nuri says that Orez is fully considered a type of grain. The Chayovin Achimutse Chorus, so if a person eats it on Pesach as chometz, then he be chayav kares. V'adam yotze b'yidechei rosu b'pesach. And if a person makes masa out of chores, Rav Yechon ben Nuri would say he could eat that for masa and be yotze the mitzvah. So even though it's not one of the chamesh haminim, Rav Yechon ben Nuri considers it to that extent to be sort of an honorary member. Avol Rabbanon loy, but the Rabbanon disagree. The Rabbanon say that Orez is not like the five grains. So therefore, so a person eats Orez even if it's chometz on Pesach. And there is, by the way, a difference. The chamesh haminim all contain gluten, or to a greater or lesser extent, and all of them, when they rise, you have there's certain enzymes in them that the yeast feed off them or whatever, and therefore they actually rise, and therefore they make a stretchy type of dough, which then becomes bread. So that's the definition of chometz. Rice doesn't have whether we say rice is rice or millet, it doesn't have those enzymes, and it doesn't have gluten. So it doesn't rise in the same way. So in fact, the halacha is that even if you were to do the same kind of thing, you were to take a lump of rice dough, let's say, and you were to take rice flour and knead it and make a dough out of it and let it sit until it starts rising, halacha doesn't consider that to be rising. Halacha doesn't consider that to be chum, to be chimur. It calls it sirchon, which means spoiling.
How does it rise?
The same way. I mean, it rises because you have the yeast start feeding off it, and they produce carbon dioxide, et cetera, and that makes bubbles in it. But as far as halacha is concerned, not like Rebbe Akiva, because halacha is not like Rebbe Akiva Nuri, when it comes to rice or other kinds of grains, it's not considered to be chimut, it's considered sircha, and it's considered spoilage. So therefore, so okay, the fact that we don't eat rice on Pesach is because of kidney, it's not because of a minig that developed from the time of the Rishonim, because it can be confused with actual grain. But it's not grain, therefore a person can't use rice, therefore a person... So, no, according to Rabbi Yechonon, no, fine, but Allah is not like him. So, but you can't use rice, matzah, on Pesach in particular. And a person eats rice cakes or what have you on Pesach, then he's not chayiv, chayiv, there are rice, if we can come. So when we just quoted a braisa that listed orez among the ma'isik data, fine, that would be according to Rabbi Yechonon Nuri. He would say that the same way as cracked wheat grains are considered ma'isik data, so is orez, but the chum disagrees, so therefore that's it. Okay, but Rabbanan loy. Still, are you telling me that Rabbanan don't think that orez is that orez is considered a grain and that you should say mizonas on it? Well, Tanya, we learn in yet another braisa, hakoses es achita. If a person chews and swallows just plain wheat grains, kosis, by the way, we had kosis yesterday in connection with pepper as well, kosis is the Gemara's usual word for, as Rashi explains, for anything that a person eats not in the usual way. The usual way, when a person eats something in the normal way, it's called oichel. But when he eats it not in the normal way, like you, people don't normally eat wheat grains, then it's called kosis. So a kosis is a chita. If a person eats a plain wheat grain, mevarech aleha b'ri hadama, and he says hadama on it. Tochna afar is plain wheat grains. Yeah, exactly like that. He eats plain wheat grains. He just chews them and swallows them. Although it isn't a gaya nowadays as far as certain kinds of cereals. You have puff wheat, for example. It is very much like that. You have a grain of wheat, which all they did is they puffed it up. Yes, it's still the whole or almost the whole wheat grain. So actually, you say hadama on puff wheat. Tochna afar ubishla. If then you ground up the wheat and you baked it in the bread, and now let's say you took that bread and you cooked it, you went and cooked it in water, let's say. So then, this mancha process kayomos, so then it depends. If the pieces of bread are still intact and they didn't dissolve in the broth or whatever it is that you're cooking them in, then it's still considered bread. The fact that you cooked it doesn't change that, and therefore you would still say hamotzi and benching after that. In ena krusis kayomis, if the pieces are no longer intact, meaning that they dissolved. Although Tosis brings up the possibility that maybe even it doesn't even mean that they actually dissolved. It just means if you were to pick a piece up out of it, it would break. It would break apart, it would crumble, right? Anyway, so if it gets to that point, then it goes down a bracha. All of a sudden, bracha has made gimel. Then you say mizonis and alamis on it.
Why
do
you think that
we
should change the
because now it's not considered lechem anymore. Actually, we're going to deal with that more on other days. So hold that thought. But we're going to deal more with this issue on other days about about bread that's cooked or mixed with other ingredients or whatever. We'll get back to that. We'll also talk Rez Hashem about how that applies to croutons. But anyway, that's not our main focus right now, so I'll leave that for later. Continues the Braisa. Hakoytes is the orez. If a person chews plain orez, same thing, mevorech aleihu b'orech pri hadama, then you say hadama on it. Tochnei afaru v'shloi, if you went through the same kind of process, you ground it up into flour and baked it into bread, and then you took that Ura's bread and cooked it. Then it doesn't matter whether the pieces still have their original shape and their original consistency or not. Either way, the fact that you made it into bread upgrades it to mizonis. All of a sudden, and at the end, you say alamisha. So you see that Ura can be alamisha. And yet, Rav and Shmuel are telling us that you don't say alamisha on it. That you don't say mizonis and alamisha on it. So what's going on? So Mani, we have to ask, which of the two opinions is right? Now, you could argue, Ilay Rav Yechon and Nuri. You could say, maybe it goes according to Rav Yechon and Nuri. Dama Erez Min Dagan Hu, who he said before that Erez is considered a grain as well. That's why he said, even as far as the dinner of Pesach is considered a grain. He says he's a high chorus for eating as chomis ha-pesach, and he can be yotzei the mitzvah of master with it. If this braisa, if this last braisa that we just quoted about eating rice, about plain rice being hadama, plain oras being hadama, and then oras bread being mizonis, If that was according to Rabbi Yechon Ben Ri, what do you mean mizonos? Hamoy filach minaretz b'shalosh brachas boy baruchi. Then it should have the same din as regular bread in the previous part of the brayta. That if the prusos, if the pieces are still intact in the soup or whatever, then you would say hamotzi and benching on it. El olav rabbanon. Obviously, this last brayta must be according to the rabbanon, and even they are saying that fine. We're not going to go as far as Rabbi Yechon Ben Ri and say that if we consider a full-fledged grain to the extent of the dinim of Pesach and to the extent of saying hamotzi on it, but we are going to say that it does at least, it is at least considered a grain because after all it is filling and nutritious, so it is a grain at least to the extent of saying mezonos. Therefore, it comes out a contradiction on Rav and Shmuel. So the Gemara says, indeed, that is indeed a contradiction, and therefore, the halacha is not like them as far as Oros and Doichan. The halacha is you would say Mizonos on it. Now,
they say,
well, actually, so Rav and Shmuel actually told us two dinim. Actually, they told us two dinim, and one of them had two details in it. Number one, they said at the bottom of the previous Amud that anything that contains one of the Chamesh HaTamidim as an ingredient, you say Mizonos on it. The other one was that anything that is of the Chamesh HaTamidim, you say Mizonos on it. So that second din of theirs, now in that second din, they said that means not Oros and not Doichan. So now we slugged up that second din based on this last brayta. However, first of all, we didn't slug up the part about Doichan because the brayta that we quoted over here only mentioned Oros. So therefore, Doichan, we can still stick with what they said, that Doichan does not get a Mizonos. And that, in fact, is the halacha as brought in Shulchan Aruch, that Urez, you say Mizonos, Doichan, you don't. We'll talk in a second. Let's finish up the discussion, and then we'll talk about what Urez and Doichan actually are. So that's number one. Number two, you have Rav and Shmuel's first din still remains intact, which is, they said, only that if it's not purely Chamesh HaTamidim, but rather it includes Chamesh HaTamidim as one of the ingredients, then you still say Mizonos on it. That also stays intact. That wasn't contradicted by all of this. And therefore, the Rishonim also passed in like that, that when it comes to mixtures, you say Mizonos only if it's one of the Chamesh HaTamidim, that's one of the ingredients, but not if you have a mixture that contains Oros or Doichan or other types of grain in it. As one of the ingredients in the mixture, that's not an, even if we say that Oros, we just said Oros gets upgraded to Mizonos, but only if it's Oros by itself, not if it's part of a mixture. Because ultimately, Oros is not one of the Chamesh HaTamidim. We just said it is considered sort of an honorary member to the extent that it gets Mizonos. But Rav and Shmuel have said that only if it's by itself. Well, actually, Rav and Shmuel have said even if it's by itself, it doesn't, and we shrug that part up. But we still have intact the part about it's part of a mixture. So let's talk about what is Oros and Doichan, actually. So again, Tosfos had said before that Oros is rice, and Doichan then would be some kind of millet. Most of the Rishonim agree with Tosfos on that, and therefore the Velt holds like that. In fact, the Oros HaShulchan goes so far as to say that there's no suffix on it, that the suffix has been answered. Oros is definitely rice, and therefore the Velt holds like that, and they say Mizonos on rice, but only when the rice is by itself. For example, Rice Krispies or cooked rice or what have you. But actually, Rice Krispies not necessarily because they're not really cooked, they're just puffed. So maybe those are, but anyway, for example, cooked rice, let's say the Velt says Mizonos on. We hold that Valter Rebbe talks about in Hilchos Birkas HaMannim that no, after all, we have Rashi's opinion over here that Oros is not rice, that Oros is some kind of millet, Doichan is also some kind of millet. Therefore, we have a topic. Do you in fact say Mizonos on rice or not? If you say that it's not Oros or Doichan, then it would be like any other grain. You would say Hadamah on it, because it grows from the ground. But that's it. No more than Hadamah. You would never go beyond Hadamah. So therefore, the Alter Rebbe says, this is how we follow. Ideally, therefore, if you're going to eat something made of rice, it should either be in a meal of bread, so that way you're washing for bread and you're copying everything that you eat during the meal anyway, or at least you should be eating beforehand some other food that's Mizonos and some other food that's Hadama, and that way you're covering the various possibilities, and then you eat the rice. Well, because it could be Hadama, it could be Mizonos. Again, if Oros is rice, then it would be Mizonos, according to what we're just saying. If it's Hadama, then you eat. Let's say you're going to be eating rice. So you first eat a piece of cake or cookie or what have you, and that way then, which are Mizonos, or noodles. Sushi is not Mizonos. Sushi is chocolate.
That's right. So well, there you have the question, I guess, whether the rice is considered the main thing.
Right.
Again, here it's aljay tarubis, it's mixed with other things.
So therefore,
we just said this rule wouldn't apply. Then we would say that the rice that goes with sushi therefore would be bapastus, it would be toppled.
Rice and maybe
okay, it doesn't matter what the percentages are. Okay, so maybe not. I mean, again, we're saying Rav and Shmuel's first rule is that only if when you're talking about something that's an ingredient of a larger thing, only if that ingredient is one of the Chamesh HaMinim, he's saying the Zonis. Rice, we're saying at the end of it here, is not one of the Chamesh HaMinim for sure.
No.
The suffix is whether it's Ored, but we know for a fact from our Gemara that Ored, we established that Ored itself is not one of the Chamesh HaMinim. We say if it's by itself, you say Mizon, it's not necessarily if it's part of a mixture. So according to the Al-Tadabah, therefore, so ideally, if you're eating rice, you either eat it in a meal of bread, or at least you eat something else which is mazonis and something else which has adama, and only then eat the rice. If you can't do that, then you say shakol on it, as is the usual rule when you have a suffix on a bracha, because shakol covers everything.
You have sushi, which is rice either with vegetables or with salmon.
Okay, the bottom line is, again, this rule that we just said is only when we're talking about the odors is by itself, not when it's part of a mixture. When it's part of a mixture, we still have Rav and Shmuel Din that say, so actually, okay, I see over here that, okay, so you have the question of Iker and Topol. So actually, okay, you have okay, the food is known as sushi due to the rice, so it's not tofu. So then they stay distinct. So therefore, the Belt of Shaposkin, for example, they mentioned over here, Rabbi Heinemann from the Star K, who says that okay, so you should say mizonis on the rice and then bracha on the filling. For us Lubavitchers who follow the Alter Rebbe, you have the question whether the rice is hadama or mizonis, as he just said. So therefore, you'd be making mizonis on something else and hadama on something else, and then eating the sushi. Or you would make hamotzi and then it covers it regardless.
You can make hamotzi on that?
No, you make hamotzi on bread and then you eat it in the meal of the bread. Okay, let's go on. Omar, let's get back to what we said in the Braisa. That if you're chewing wheat by itself, you say hadam on it. So Bartanya Burmin is Zroyim, but we have another Braisa that says that the bracha for wheat by itself would be Burmin is Zroyim, that Hashem creates different kinds of seeds. The answer is like Hasha, Rabbi Yehuda, or Rabbanan. That represents the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda versus the Rabbanan. Ketan, we learned in our Mishnah about your rockets on the bird of Prihadrama. We said in our Mishnah that you had those Prihadrama, fruits from the ground, for example, tomatoes and cucumbers, and then you had yurokos, which are things like lettuce, cabbages, other things like that. We eat the leaves of the plant. So the Mishnah said that on such vegetables, omer b'ruach pri'adama, you say the same bracha b'ruach pri'adama as you would on cucumbers. Rabbi Yehuda omer b'ruach mina d'shoyim, whereas Rabbi Yehuda has said you say that Hashem made different kinds of herbs. So you see that Rabbi Yehuda wants you to have a specific kind of bracha for each specific kind of growth, for each specific category of growth. So therefore, he would say you have hadama for things like tomatoes and cucumbers, which are botanically fruits. You would say boder mina d'shoyim for things like cabbage or lettuce or what have you. And he would then also say that you have boder mina d'shoyim for things like raw wheat, or he would say that would apply to, for example, different kinds of beans or things like that. Now the halacha is not like him, and we say hadama on all of them. Omar, let's go back. We said in the braisa, kosis is urdes mevorach al boder pri hadama. We said if a person eats plain rice, then he says on it, Burk Prihadama, Tochna Yafoi Vishloi, once he ground it up and baked it into a bread or rice cakes or whatever. So we have to realize throughout, as we learn this, that Urez, the Alpha Rebbe tells us, we're not sure whether it's rice or millet, but sometimes if I mistakenly say rice, because the fact is most folks can do say it's rice. But anyway, so if a person eats Urez by itself, we said he says Burk Prihadama, Tochna Yafoi Vishloi, but if he ground it up and baked it and then took that baked product and cooked it in a soup or something. Mm-hmm. We said even if the pieces of the original bread are still intact, but then you say mizonis at the beginning and alamichi at the end. Vahotanya, the problem with that is we learn in another braisa, lavasoif beloy klum, you don't say anything. Now anything doesn't literally mean anything. Rashi explains it means you would say burn the fashas. Why is Bo'in HaFoshes called nothing? So Rashi says, because ala michya or ala eitz, whatever the various versions of that bracha, as well as benching, all mention the produce of Eretz Yisrael. Bera nefashas does not. So therefore, it's called v'loy klum relative to those other brachas. The Rashba gives a different reason. He says the reason is because in benching or in ala michya, you're in bracha and men sholosh, you're mentioning the actual food that you're saying the bracha, and you're mentioning the sustenance, the nutrition, which Hashem gave us, as opposed to in bera nefashas. We just said before, bera nefashas rabbis v'chasroinon, al kil masha barot ala hachisem. You're not really specifying any particular kind of thing that you just ate, therefore it's called v'loy klum. And then the Radbaz disagrees with that, because he says you could say the same thing about the bracha shakol. It's also very generic, and it doesn't mention the specific thing you ate. So the Radbaz says yet another explanation, that it's called v'loy klum, meaning that kind of default bracha. The default bracha for anything would be shakol, and then you have some things that are upgraded to bracha men sholosh or benching. Okay, anyway, so the Braisa says that you say v'loy klum, meaning v'ro nefashot, and after eating oras. So Omer Rav Sheshet, like kasha horam gam niyo v'harabam. It's not a contradiction because one braisa is according to Rav Gamliel and one is going according to the Rabban. The Tanyan, like this. We learn in a braisa, Zeh HaKlal, the general rule is like this. Kol Shehu Mishiva Saminim, anything when a person eats any of the Shiva Saminim, so not just wheat and barley, but also grapes and dates and figs and so on and so forth. Rav Gamliel and a Sholosh Brachas. Rav Gamliel says at the end you have to bench full benching of three brachas. V'chacham say you only say brachachas men sholosh. Ala michya or ala eitz, as the case may be. U'maiser b'Rav Gamliel v'haskenim. And it happened once with Rav Gamliel and the other chachamim. Shehoi mesubin ba'aliyah b'Yerichoi. They were sitting and having a meal in a second floor of a house in Yerichoi. And Yerichoi is famous for its dates. In fact, it's called in a number of places in Tanakh. It's called Ir HaTzmorim, the city of date, or the city of date palms. They view the name Kaisabai, so sure enough, they brought them date seeds, and dates are one of the Shiva Taminim, the Ochlu, and they ate from it, the Nos and Rav Gamliel, the Shus, or Rav Akiva Lavari. So now Rav Gamliel gave Rav Akiva the permission, the honor, to say the bracha. Meaning, in other words, that Rav Gamliel thought that Rav Akiva is going to follow the opinion of Rav Gamliel himself, that we just said, that you have to say full benching for that, and therefore, so now what happens is benching, as we're going to learn in the next parak. You have the concept of mezuman when it comes to benching, where one person can say benching, where one person invites everybody to join him in benching, which is mezuman, and he says the whole benching, and everybody just answers amen and is yoyfe. So nowadays, in practice, everybody says benching for themselves after mezuman, because we have benchers and we have sedurim. But in principle, the original way that mezuman worked was that one person would say the brachos and be mozi, everybody else. So Rav Gamliel thought that Rav Akiva was going to do that. However, kofas uberich, Rav Akiva brachachas men sholosh. However, Rav Akiva went ahead, it's kofas, literally means he jumped, but like he quickly went ahead and said brachachas men sholosh. He just said al ha'eit. Which means, by the way, therefore, so now it means, Tosfos points out, that then he can't be mochi everybody else with that. Everybody else needs to say their own al ha'eit. Why the expression kofas? In fact, the slack explains that what it is jumped means, in other words, he wanted to get far enough into the bracha that Rav Gamliel can't interrupt him before he realizes what's going on. If he started slow or whatever, then Rav Gamliel would realize that he's starting ala eight, then and he would stop him and tell him, wait a second, you got a bench, but he got far enough into it before Rav Gamliel realized. Rav Gamliel says to him, Akiva, ad mosay at the machnitz rosh chabein machlokas. How long are you going to go and put your head into a machlokas? In other words, what are you mixing in over here? You have the opinion that there should be benching. Now, on the face of it, it's going to be a machlokas either way. Because the fact is, if he does like Rav Gamliel, he's disagreeing with the chacham. If he does it the Urachayim Hakadosh points out in the sefer Chepet Hashem, he says that even the chachamim might agree that b'di'evet, a person benches full benching on it, he would be yotze. So Rav Gamliel is telling him, at least you should have done that, and that way you're yotze according to everybody, according to me, l'chachila, and according to everybody else, b'di'evet. But when you're saying brocha hasmein sholosh, according to me, you're not even yotze. So why are you doing that? Amalei, Rabbeinu, af api shaka oimer kein v'chaberecha oimim kein. So Rav Akiva tells him, even though you say one way and your colleagues say the other way, and on the face of it, your opinion deserves respect, but after all, Rebbe, you yourself taught us, yachid v'rab malachah k'rabim, that when you have a yachid going against the rabbin, malachah is like rabbin. So with all due respect, Rav Gamliel, we have to go according to the chachamim.
Who say that you say
brachah v'mein sholosh. So I follow that, and that's back to halacha. In fact, that's one reason it says why did Rav Gamliel give Rav Akiva Rishus the bench? Well, if he wanted to say He should have benched himself, and then because he wanted to, he figured Rabbi Akiva is going to say that he's going to bench like Rabbi Akiva, like Rabbi Gamliel holds, and that way it will establish once and for all that Malacha is like Rabbi Gamliel. But Rabbi Akiva didn't do that because he offered Rabbi Malacha to that. Okay, we're still in the middle of it. We're still trying to figure out how this relates back to Urez, so we'll get back to that in a minute. But Tosfos points out an interesting thing. When you bench, you're supposed to bench on a cup of wine. In practice, we do that always. We always do that on Pesach. It's the third or the fourth of the four courses. Many people do it whenever they're doing a mezuzah. Some people do it only when they have a mezuzah of 10, whatever. Anyway, but in principle, it's supposed to be. So the question is, Tosfos says, in that case, according to Rav Gamliel, wouldn't you have a loop? You're benching, then you're drinking a cup of wine, and according to Rav Gamliel, whenever you eat something of a shivat aminim, you have to bench again. So then you're going to have to bench again, another cup of wine, and keep on going endlessly. Tosfos says that no. If you're just drinking maloy lugmav, you're just drinking a cheekful of the wine, which is all you have to drink from the coat of Birkas HaMazon, then Rav Gamliel is going to agree you don't bench on that. Then he would agree if you just say Baruch HaFa Men Shalosh. But that's it. There's no cycle on this. Okay. Anyway, continues the Brayta. Rav Yehuda Omer Mishmoy. Rav Yehuda says, in the name of Rav Gamliel, a different version of what Rav Gamliel had said originally, culture in the Shivas Aminim, the loy min dogon. Here's the key thing. This is why we're getting into Urez. That he says that whenever you have something which is one of the Shivas Aminim, but it's not a type of grain, so meaning the five types of the five things of the Shivas Aminim, which are fruit, grapes, pomegranates, etc., oy min dogon v'loy asoy pas, or where it's a type of dogon, it's a type of grain, but you didn't make it into bread. Those are the cases where Rav Gamliel and the Sholosh Brachas, v'chom ramen bracha achas. Where those are the cases where Rav Gamliel would say that you bench, and the Chachamim would say that you just say Baruch HaFa Men Shalosh. Kol she'enoi loy neshivas aminin, loy min dogon. On the other hand, continues Rabbi Yehuda in his version of Rav Gamliel's statement, anything which is not one of the neshivas aminim, and it's also not a type of dogon, could go in past odors with doichan. For example, bread made out of odors and doichan, rice and millet, or millet and another kind of millet, or whatever. Rav Gamliel on the Baruch HaFa Men Shalosh, Vachamim V'Loi Klum. There, Rav Gamliel says that you say Baruch HaFa Men Shalosh, that you say Alamichyanet, and the Chachamim say you say nothing, meaning, as you said, Bowen and Poshes. So therefore, if it's not part of the Shivat Aminim, and it's not a grain, it's not considered Min Dogon, meaning, for example, Urdas and Dogon. So again, if we have one braisa that says, so if we had a previous braisa that said that on bread of odors and doichan you do make mezonah, you make mezonah at the beginning and alamichi at the end, that would be according to Rav Gamliel. Whereas Chachamim would say bo nefashim. The problem with that is Mayu Pinta. So what are you saying that previous braisa on Amud Aleph, where again you have the cake, you had past odors and doichan that then you cooked. So we said whether the pieces are still intact in the soup or whatever, you would say mezonos on it, and at the end you would say alamisha. So you're telling me now that braisa is only according to Rav Gamliel, but ema sefer deresha. But no, that can't be because look at the second case in the resha, where we said im ena prusit kayomos, that if we said we had the case of it again in the braisa over there. We had two cases. We had one case involving wheat bread and another case involving oilas bread.
Okay.
So in the case of wheat bread, we distinguished between whether the pieces of bread are still intact or not. And we said if they're still intact, then it's hamotzi. If they're not intact, then it's mezonos.
Right.
Then we said as far as oilas, either way, it's mezonos. If that braisa goes according to Rav Gamliel, then what do you mean? In Ein Akrusis Kayomis, the Tchilim Bevarach Halal Borim Mizonis, or the Sosh Bevarach Halal Baruch HaFa Men Shalosh. Then what would it mean that at the beginning you say Mizonis, and at the end you say Alamichya? Mani, who could that be like? E Rav Gamliel, if you're going to say that that's according to Rav Gamliel, why? Hashtag Kosvis, the Daisa of Rav Gamliel, Gimel Brachas. Rav Gamliel said you bench even for dates, or even for daisa, which was never even made into bread in the first place. It was just grits that were cooked. And even then, he says, because again, we had the rule, anything that is one of the shivas aminim, he says, you bench on it. So if you bench even on those, in ena krusas kayamas niboya, would it need to be said that even if you have something that was actually made into bread and was definitely needed benching at some point, according to everybody, and now, okay, you cooked it and the pieces are falling apart, Miboya, would it be necessary to say how could it be mizonis according to him? It would have to be hamotzi and benching according to him. El pitter rabbanon. Obviously, then that braisa about the wheat bread versus the odor's bread must be according to the rabbanon. So therefore, so that's it. So the rabbanon, apparently are saying that you say alamisyan at the end and not burning crushes. So the problem is yihaki kasha de rabbanon ad rabbanon. Well, then we have a contradiction of the rabbanon because previously we said alamisya. In this last brisa that we just quoted, we say that the chachamim say you say burning crushes for it. So what is it? The answer is elo olam rabbanon. The answer is no. After all, the brisa previously about the past orders is according to the Rabbanon. The Tani, Rabbi Orders, you're right. You have to correct the wording of the Braita and say, all of a and we've got a halavoloi klum, but at the end you don't say, you say burn a brushes on it. So we had the wording of the Braita that we quoted on Amar Aleph said that at the end you say bracha and shalosh. So apparently there's a mistake in the Braita and it should say that you say voloi klum, meaning burn a brushes.
Because it's according to the Rabbanon.
So that is the final halacha. So on Orders, when it's not cooked, or like for example, it's just like puffed Orders or whatever. So again, according to the let's first talk according to the Velt that Orders is definitely rice. So for them, puffed rice or other things like that would be hadama because it hasn't yet been turned into a form that can be considered an azonus. If they make, also the practice rice cakes would be like that also because rice cakes is basically also puffed rice that's stuck together. On the other hand, if you have, let's say, for example, you have something made out of rice flour that then is turned into some kind of dough, or so that's turned into some kind of thing approximating bread or whatever, or certain kinds of rice cereals, but also being rice chex, for example, would be in that category, let's say. So then you would say mizonis on it and bone nefashis at the end, based on what we're saying. For us who follow
rice cakes are round things.
Rice cakes are those round things, but I don't know if those would be mizonis even for the velt, because the fact is that's basically just the rice is puffed up and then the rice is puffed up and then turned into cake. So it's not ground up. We said it here, it's this case where it's ground up and made into flour and then baked or whatever, as opposed to rice cakes are not. So I would think according to the velt, rice cakes are not, the rice cakes don't get mizonis either, but I guess we could see. Anyway, the point is, but let's say, for example, rice checks or other things like that, where you actually turn rice into some kind of baked good. So those would be mizonis according to the belt, and we're saying over here, burn a fascist. So unlike every other thing that's mizonis, which gets alamichia at the end, rice would be unique in that regard, where it's mizonis at the beginning and burn a fascist at the end. According to us, who follow the Alter Rebbe, Then you have another issue, which anyway, that Otis is not necessarily rice. So then you have in general for any kind of rice product, you have the question whether it's going to be mizonis or hadama, and therefore, as the Alter Rebbe said, you should be eating them in a meal of hamotzi, or you should be making a bracha mizonis and hadama and other things. So that's that. As far as rice cakes over here, I see where they bring from a Moshe Feinstein that they actually should be mizonis because individual prop rice is hadama, but here it makes a cake, so therefore it would be mizonis.
So technically, according to the Alter Rebbe, you should never eat rice or rice derivatives alone. You should always
be eating them either as part of a meal of bread, either as part of a meal of bread, or previously you say mizonis on something else and hadama on something else. If you can't do that, then you can say shakol on it, which is the usual rule when you have a stuff in brothers. Yeah, this is why you'll see when you'll see that Lubavitchers, or at least many of them, are careful with that. That when you have rice served by something, they'll either wash first, or they'll find something that's mizonis and something else that's hadama and make a bracha on those, and only then eat the rice.
And the Velt would not do
that. The Velt wouldn't do that because they hold that Odus is definitely rice, no question about it. And therefore, the dinim of our Gemara would apply unless it's just puffed rice or whatever, individual grains of puffed rice that they have in cereal, for example, then they would say mizonis on it. Puffed rice, they would say hadama, but everything else would be mizonis. Yeah.
Puffed
rice would be hadama, but everything else, rice cakes, according to what I just saw, and rice bread, or rice, various other kinds of rice crispies, well, not rice crispies, that's the same thing as puffed rice, rice checks, let's say, or other kinds of things would be mizonis. Okay. Omar Rabba. Okay, so now let's get back to Hamesha Samin. Let's get back to grain products. So Rabba, now we learned at the bottom of Amud Vav, we talked about Chavetz Gedera, which we said was a kind of porridge made from said it was made from coarsely ground grain together, or not coarse, actually, we said it was made from flour together with oil and honey. So now the Gemara is going to discuss a similar thing. Amar Rava, Hahi Riyata de Chakloi, the Riyata of field workers, Riyata, Rashi says, is the same as Chavetz Gedera. The Ritva says that actually it's similar but not identical. Chavetz Gedera has a thicker consistency. This stuff has the same ingredients, but it's made with a thinner consistency. Anyway, so if it's made, the one that's made by field workers, Demakshi Beit Kimcha, where they put a larger amount of flour into it than the normal recipe would call for, Mavarach Barim and Mazonis. Then you say Mazonis, and it might have the Smida Iker, because in that case, then the flour is considered the main ingredient because you have more flour than anything else. Demachuda, on the other hand, the kind of Rihatah that they make in cities, the Loi Makshi Beit Kimcha, where they don't put as much flour in it, you have more honey and oil in it. Then you say shakol. My time of dov she'ikr, because the honey then would be the main ingredient. But the hodah amar Rabbah, then later on Rabbah changed his mind and said, no, I be barim mazonis. In either case, he would say mazonis. Did Rabbah Shmuel down with Havayah? Because we said before, Rabbah and Shmuel both said, kol sh'yesh b'rim ha'meshah ha'minim, anything that has one of the ha'meshah ha'minim as one of the ingredients, regardless of the amount, mevarach hanal, barim mazonis, and he say mazonis. Again, as Tosfos has said, as long as you're not just putting in the ha'meshah ha'minim as a binder or something, as long as you're putting it in to actually make it more nutritious or flavorful or whatever. Okay. Omer Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef says, here's another game. Hai chavitza. When it comes to chavitza, so what is it? So chavitza means some kind of stew or some kind of cooked dish. So Rashi describes it as that you have, Rashi describes it with a French word, which we're not even quite sure what that word means, but whatever it is, Rashi says, in the pan, when they're cooking this thing, they crumble up pieces of bread into it. Tosfos actually says that no, because we dealt with that on Amud Aleph. We talked about Prusas Kayomas, and Prusas Kayomas. So Tosfos over here learns that actually Chavitza is rather, it's not necessarily cooked, you have pieces of bread that are stuck together using liquid, using milk, using whatever, that would be called Chavitza. So they're not necessarily cooked together per se, but they're not necessarily cooked together, but they're held together by some kind of binder. So that would be that according to Tosfos, that's the definition of chavitza. So chavitza. The isbe perurin kezayis, if there are pieces of bread in it that are at least the kezayis inside, but chilam mevarach alav hamotzi lechem min ha'aretz, or also mevarach alav shalosh brachos, then you would say hamotzi at the beginning and benching at the end, because even though it was cooked according to Rashi, or even though it's soft pieces that are being held together with milk or what have you, according to Tosfos. Either way, the fact is, still considered pieces of bread. They still have their importance because they're still each kezayis in size. The less they perun kezayis, but if the pieces are smaller than a kezayis, but chilam mevarach alav barim mezonis, or the first brachah men sholosh, then it gets downgraded to mezonis and alamisa.
If they keep the size of kezayis.
Then they'd be hamotzi, and if not, then they'd be mezonis. Now, again, according to Rashi, this is basically exactly the same case as we had on the Aleph, prusas kayamas or ain prusas kayamas. According to Rashi, prusas kayamas or not, the key thing is what's the size of them, and also the consistency. According to Tosfos, they're two different dinim. One is that on Omer Aleph, we were talking about a case where they're cooked, where then it depends on the consistency of them, whether if you pick them up they'll break apart or whether they're completely dissolved. Tosfos, by the way, gives a rule over there, which is brought in Shulchan Aruch. If the liquid that they're cooked in becomes white, then you know that they're considered that they're dissolved. Because why is it turning white? Because you have dissolved pieces of bread.
If they keep the natural color, then you know.
That if the water, if the water or soup or whatever keeps the natural color, then you know that's not dissolved yet. But on the other hand, Tosfos says here again, we're talking about, let's say over here, that you have pieces of bread that you use some kind of binder like milk or like milk or soup or whatever to hold them together. So sort of like a matzah ball, in other words, corn stitches. So if it has pieces in it that are a kezayis versus less than a kezayis. Omer Rav Yosef Menam Minolah. So Rav Yosef says, where do I get this idea? Where do I get this idea that there's a difference whether the pieces are kezayis or not? But that's the cutoff point. So let's just tell you. We're learning a brayta. Hoya Oimed Umatzid Menachos BiYerushalayim. If a person is standing and offering a korban mincha in the Beis Hamikdash in Yerushalayim. Oimed Baruch Shech Yonim. So he says the Baruch Shech Yonim. Now what's the case? Rashi explains that we're talking about the Yisrael who is giving the mincha to the Kohen to offer. This Yisrael has not brought a Kohen mincha for a while, so therefore it's like any other mitzvah that comes every so often, and therefore he says Shechiyon on it. Tosfos disagrees. The Rambam writes something similar, although the Rambam puts a twist on it. The Rambam says that actually it's only once a year when you bring the mincha for the first time from the new grain crop of that year. Now we learn in the Sefer Menachos that when it comes to people are allowed to eat chadash after the Korban HaOmer is brought on the 16th of Nisan. As far as bringing Menachos to it in the Bet Mikdash, the first one has to be the Shtei Alachem that are brought on Shavuos, and after that everybody can bring Korbanos Mincha from the new. So you have to wait till Shavuos. B'di'evet, if you brought them B'di'evet, if you brought a Korban Mincha from the new crop after the Omer, then you're Yosel of them. But anyway, the point is, so that you have every time the first year that a person is bringing, according to the Rambam, the first year that a person is bringing a Korban Mincha from the new crop, then he would say Shechiyon on it. Any time after Shavuos, usually would be the Hatzilah, or even during Sfiras over B'di'evet. Anyway, Tosfos disagrees with that whole concept. Tosfos says that you're talking about not the Yisrael who's bringing the mincha. You're talking about the Kohen who gets to serve in the mincha only twice a year. So therefore, he says Shechiyam on it. Rashi and Menachos brings yet another explanation that it means the Kohen is bringing the mincha for the very first time in his life. Anyway, whatever it is, okay. So he says Shechiyam. Naflon the Oichon. He was the key part, which is why we're bringing this in. When the Kohen takes the mincha to eat it, and we know that there are different kinds of menachos, some of which are baked, so he says, I'm moti on it, because it is considered bread. The Tani Allah, now we learn in a Mishnah relating to that, when it comes, there are certain kinds of menachos, you have two types of menachos that are baked, or you have different kinds of menachos that are baked or fried, and the Mishnah says, B'chulam posts on kazayis. Those kinds of menachos, what do you do in order to do the k'misa with them? We know the Kohen has to take a k'mis out of the mincha, so when the mincha is brought as flour, no problem, then you scoop it in and take the flour and oil mixture. When you have a baked or fried mincha, so you first break it up into pieces the size of a kazayis, and then the Kohen scoops up out of that. And a coin that contains a minimum of two kazaisim, so he gets at least two of those pieces. Mm. So the point is, in other words, Rabbi Yosef is saying, so you see that the braisa is telling us that you say hamotzi on them. So you see why do you say hamotzi? Because there are pieces still the size of a kazais, implying that if there were less than a kazais, then you wouldn't. So therefore, as Rabbi Yosef says, that's where I get the distinction between a kazais and smaller than a kazais.
So he takes it from
Menachos. Actually, Tosfos points out, I mean, when you get down to it, how is that exactly like chavitza? I mean, chavitza, we said, is especially according to Rashi, that it means that it was cooked. So Tosfos says, okay, because the fact is, these Menachos are fried, and therefore that's similar to cooking, and therefore the similar din could apply.
You can compare them?
Yeah. Okay, the problem is, Amalei Abaya, but Abaya says to Rabbi Yosef, Elamei Asa, by your logic, if you're telling me that we're learning from Menachos, what about Latana Dvei Rabbi Shmuel? What about a point of Tana Dvei Rabbi Shmuel who disagrees with that din that you break up these Menachos into Kazayas-sized pieces? He says, he says when it comes to these baked and fried Menachos before the Kmitzah, you don't just break them into Kazayas-sized pieces. You break them all the way down until the pieces are the same size as the original flour that they were made from. And meaning much smaller pieces. Are you telling me that according to Tanakh Rabbi Shmuel, you would not say hamotzi when you eat such a mincha because the pieces have been broken down all the way? You would, according to him, you would still say hamotzi. V'chi tema hachinami. He's going to answer, maybe indeed, yes. Maybe indeed, if you had, according to the Tanakh Rabbi Shmuel, you wouldn't say hamotzi on it because it was broken down. But we learn in a brisa, lick it mikulam kezayis v'achon. What if a person gathered together a bunch of these pieces of menachos and ate them? That's according to Rashi. Tosfos says not necessarily. It doesn't mean actually collecting from different types of menachos. It means more generally, if a person has something like that, he has bread that he crumbled into small pieces and then he took a bunch of those pieces and ate them.
Right.
Yeah. So the Braisa says, im chometzu, if it is chometz, and there are certain menachos that are brought as chometz, in particular we have the lach metzorah, for example, chometz, onush koris, so if he eats that on Pesach, he's chayev koris, because it's still considered bread, even though it's crumbled. the imastavu, and if he ate it as masa, odom yotze bo yedecha vasel pesach, when he can be yotze eating masa on pesach, even though it's crumbled. So you see, in other words, that it's still considered bread, even though it's crumbled into tiny pieces. So what are you, Rav Yosef, telling? So much, much smaller than a kazai. So according to Tanit Vei Rabbi Shmuel, apparently it's still considered. So we're saying, in other words, that even Tanit Vei Rabbi Shmuel, who says that you crumble them into small pieces, would still say that you say hamotzi on them, and we're saying that, you do. That dinim chometz and nafsa still apply to them. So in other words, so what are you telling me? There's a difference between kazayis and not kazayis that only works according to the chachamim. What about according to Tanit Vei Rabbi Shmuel? The answer is Hoshim Ba'eskin and Misha Ersan. Yes, but that last b'risa can be talking about, suppose that now you took those crumbs and kneaded them back together to make, and made it into one thing. So sort of like matzah balls, for example.
That's what the case is talking about.
That's what the case is talking about. We're not talking about where you take, you have the mincha or whatever crumbled into tiny pieces. You join them back, you reassemble them using water or some other kind of liquid to hold them together. Well then, one second. No, it is a chiddush, because the fact is, it's not the form of the original bread anymore. Before it was bread, and now you're trying
to...
Well, we're going to see it, so we're going to be... Because we said before, kazayis and not kazayis, but wait. Ihochi ema sefer. The problem with that is, look at the sefer, which the bright that continues, v'hu sha'ochon b'chadeach el-sas. When is the person chayav for eating the kazayis and as chometz on Pesach, or he's yotze to the mitzvah of matzah for eating the kazayis? It's only if he ate b'chdeach l'sprach. The problem is b'chdeach l'sprach. I mean, the official thing, the actual definition in the Gemara is the time it would take to eat half a loaf of a certain size. The machlokes is in Eruvin whether the loaf is the size of 6 eggs or 8 eggs. As far as turning it, as far as translating it into a number of minutes. You have the opinion of the poskim all over the place. Anywhere I've seen opinions anywhere ranging from anywhere from 2 to 11 minutes. Mainstream opinions in halacha are anywhere between about 4 and 9 minutes. The Tzemach, for example, writes 6 or 7 minutes. Nowadays, again, when we eat matzah on Pesach, this is why we have a certain amount of time within which we have to eat the kazayis. Anyway, so the bride is saying only if he ate them the chiyach of the staff. The Ibisha Eristan. Now, if he joined them back together into like a matzah ball or something, Haisha Ochlon, what do you mean he ate them? You mean the different pieces? So Ochloni Baile, it should say that he ate it. So obviously we have to be talking about it's still separate tiny pieces.
One piece.
Yeah, so obviously it can't be. We have to be talking about that we're still talking about a bunch of tiny pieces, and still we're saying that it's still considered bread as far as eating matzah.
Right.
The answer is no. The answer is that no. When do we say that pieces, even smaller than a kazayis, have the din of bread, is where it came from a larger piece of bread. So you have a larger loaf of bread. The whole thing wasn't cut up. You only had part of it was cut up. So then even pieces smaller than a kazayis are considered important and are still considered bread. But if you have the entire loaf was broken up, then pieces less than a kazayis are not considered to have any significance. So the case where we said before about chavitza, where Rabbi Yosef distinguished between whether it has pieces of kazayis or not, is talking about, now we're saying when the whole loaf of bread was broken up to make...
Part of the loaf of bread would not count.
Then when we would say that even pieces smaller than a kazayis are considered to have a chshivus together with the whole loaf. So therefore, if you were to eat the whole loaf as well as you eat these crumbs, then it all counts together towards the kazayis.
But
if the whole loaf was broken up into crumbs, then not.
Then
it's not.
Because
when you have a whole loaf, then they're considered important relative because they still have the original loaf they came from, which is important. Then like they go along with it. They're bottled, say it, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And therefore you would.
So Rashi in Menachos, where it brings over here this Gemara, says that the reason is chashuvos agav avihem. They're chashuv because of the parent piece of bread that they came from. Okay, my havi halacha. What's the bottom line as far as this halacha, as far as chavitza? Amar Rav Sheshet, hi chavitza. So Rav Sheshet says, as far as this chavitza, after gav the less big perum kazayis, the halacha in the end is not like Rav Yosef. Even if the pieces in it are less than a kazayis, mevarach olah hamotzi lachem min ha'aretz, and you say hamotzi on it. Amar Rava, however, Rava says there is a condition b'hu di'ika le turista de nahama, only if it still has the appearance of bread. So in other words, it can't. So that goes back with what we were saying on Amud Aleph, for example, about bread that was cooked in soup or whatever. Where here's where Tosfos says, for example, that if the soup or whatever turned white because of it, then it means it doesn't have Tzuritza Dinama anymore because obviously the bread is dissolving in it.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, you wouldn't say amotzi on it. So this is relevant. For example, first of all, you have, let's say, French toast. French toast is amotzi because it still looks like bread. Exactly. So on the other hand, you have a big issue as far as croutons. Now, you have the small yellow croutons. We're not talking about those. Those are obviously mezonos, no question about it. But with regular croutons, the little pieces of bread, you actually have the possibility that those might be hamotzi, based on what we're saying over here. They still have tradisa denama. They still have the appearance of bread. So it's one thing. For example, if you put them in soup and cook them in soup, it's one thing. But for example, the Alter Rebbe points out that kli sheni einim avasha, we have a concept in halacha that a kli sheni, something that was not directly on the fire, is not considered to cook al pi halacha. So therefore, for example, if you have soup at the table and you put these kinds of croutons in it, let alone if you have a salad, let's say, and you put croutons in it, then you can have an issue. Those croutons may well be hamotzi.
Little cubes, right.
Although, with that said, you do have some contemporary poskim who say that maybe it's a little bit different, because the bread that we're talking about in the Gemara over here was made originally to be eaten as regular bread, and then you decided to make chabitha or what have you out of it. These are, to begin with, made in the factory. They're made as one piece in the factory and then broken up, but they were intended to begin with as croutons, so maybe, therefore, you could argue that they should be mezonos. So you have poskim that accept that they can.
The definition of crouton is really a piece of bread that you put in your soup.
But the fact of the matter is that the ones that they have nowadays, the kind of you buy in the store nowadays, are manufactured specifically for that purpose of being used as croutons, and therefore there's an argument that some contemporary poskim make that therefore they should be mezonos. It wouldn't be like the din over here that would be hamotzi. So as usual, when you have a suffix, ideally you eat it in a meal of bread, and then you have no suffix in the first place. Okay.
Thank you very much. Have a wonderful day.
Thanks. Yeah.
Thanks.